while we have waited collectively for this series to begin. It echoes around the Gabba as the all clear is given and a nation turns its eyes to Mitch Stark. The Ashes summer of 21-22 gets underway as Stark roars in and bowls to Burns. He bowled in first ball! Mitch Stark serves notice! And Ashes can be defined by the first delivery. And Stark has bowled Burns on the leg stump around his pads.
An absolute jaw-dropping moment captured beautifully by Jared Waitley at his peak. Jared Waitley on SEN yesterday. Play starts at the Gabba half an hour early today. Australia chasing England's measly first innings total of 147, the lowest first innings total in 24 years. So many storylines to take from an eventful day one. It's actually hard to know where to start, but that's why this man is here. Former test opener and member of the SEN commentary team, Simon Kadich, is with us thanks to Chadstone Toyota. Stock is available for immediate delivery now at Chaddy Toyota. Big welcome to you, Simon.
Good morning, guys.
Where do we actually start? I've got to ask you, 147, 50.1 overs. Probably first of all, with hindsight being our absolute hero friend here in this instance, opinion pretty much split. Should they have batted or should they have bowled, England?
Well, it's easy to say they should have bowled when they rolled for 147. But I understand what Joe Root was trying to do. I mean, he's got a youngish team. You know, there's a number of players that haven't played in Australian conditions before. And, you know, if he doesn't bat first in that situation yesterday, he potentially sends a message to his team and also to the public and the supporters out there that he maybe doesn't back his batting group in to be able to handle the Australian attack in those conditions. So it was a big call because he knew it was probably going to be tough early on. But it wasn't an unplayable wicket. There was a little bit of movement around, but nothing out of the ordinary to what you'd expect at the Gabba. So seen plenty of shield wickets up there over the years that are greener than that and do more. But what England failed to do yesterday was the basics of batting, which was, you know, at the Gabba, you've got to leave a lot of balls. You've got to be really circumspect. You've got to win that first 30 overs. They couldn't even win the first ball. And if you lose a wicket first ball, you're always playing catch-up. And I think the thing that stood out from my perspective is that they never got a partnership, apart from probably Hamid and Pope and then Pope and Butler at one stage. At no stage did they get a substantial partnership to be able to put some pressure back on to Pat Cummins and the Australian bowlers. So that's the area they failed at. I mean, if they'd been able to eke out, you know, 270, they'd probably be back in this test match. But they're well short of that and now have to play catch-up.
I can't imagine there's anything more nerve-wracking than facing the first ball in an Ashes series. Mm-hmm. Now, you're one of the great openers we've ever had, Kat. Did you ever cop a dismissal on the first ball of a test match?
Well, I tell you, I managed to avoid that because I made sure whoever I was opening with, I was down the other end. So I always batted at number two. And the reason for that was I was having to do short leg. So I thought that was a pretty good trade-off. If I'm doing short leg, then someone else could face the first rock. But I did get run out in my final test for a diamond. Duck. Watto got me in Adelaide. So I didn't even face the ball, but I was down the other end. So never got out first ball, thankfully.
So Warnie was very dismissive. You may not have heard it because you had other commitments with us on radio. Very dismissive of the ball that Mitchell Stark bowled, a half volley on leg stump. I thought it was better than that. How did you see it?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a plan because when you see Mitchell Stark's reaction to the wicket, obviously he went crazy and loved it, but as you would. But, you know, they would have studied Rory Burns and they know that he shuffles across his crease. He went a long way yesterday, exposed his leg stump and it hit it flush. The thing about Mitchell Stark is he means to bowl full early on and swing that ball and it swung around the back of his leg. So only he'll know and be able to say whether it was a plan or not. But it's one of those things that, you know, when it happens, it pays off all the hard work that they've prepared for beforehand.
So, Simon, England take the ball on day two, of course, with no Broad and no Anderson. 1,156 wickets between them. They're two leading wicket takers of all time. Now, we know Jimmy Anderson's been on the record as saying he's the most underdone he'd ever been coming into this test. So perhaps less of a surprise he's not playing as it is for Stuart Broad, who has David Warner well and truly in his pocket. Were you as surprised as anyone that he was overlooked?
Yes and no. Look, I understand the sort of storyline around both of them because they're legends of English cricket. But when you dig a bit deeper, you know, Jimmy Anderson, yes, he's underdone. And It's a 5-test series. If they were to lose him for all five and he goes breaks down in the first with a calf, which we know that he's not coming back from in the space of a month at his age, then that's a massive loss. And they probably go, well, we've wasted an opportunity with a pink ball coming up in Adelaide and then a potential pink ball test in the fifth test, wherever that is. So I can understand that decision. The one with Broad's an interesting one because he hasn't had a great 2021. He's only got 10 wickets. His calf went in England earlier in the year, and Joe Root's got as many test wickets as him this year. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he's had a fantastic career and he's a legend of English cricket, but, you know, his time is getting towards the end. And the other part of it is Ollie Robinson, who they have picked, has had a fantastic start to his test career, and they've obviously backed him in. So they wanted the pace of Wood. Chris Wokes is obviously another very good bowling sort of all-rounder, and they wanted the spinner. So time will tell whether the spinner, the selection of Leach, was the right call for Broad. But I can understand maybe where they're coming from, and also both of their injury history, whether they think both of them can't get through this series because they're underprepared.
So I was going to ask you what we can expect from their bowling lineup and Leach and Wood and Robinson and Wokes, as you've just all touched on those four there. Is there anything threatening there, Cat? I mean, can the Aussies really capitalise on what seems to be a weakish English bowling lineup?
Yeah, look, it'll be an interesting day because day two of the Gabba normally quickens up a little bit, particularly if the sun comes out. But the conditions will be interesting today, you know, whether there's any more rain around. But we saw a little bit of movement yesterday. I think the English bowlers, the danger they have now is they try and chase the game and try and attack and just take wicket after wicket. They actually got to be patient on this wicket and build up pressure because we know the Australian batsmen know these conditions well. And I think the challenge they've got is they're bowling to guys like Warner, Labuschagne and Smith, who are very good in these conditions, have got outstanding records and know how to bat at the Gabba. And that's probably the big difference between the two teams. The English batsmen yesterday didn't understand how to bat at the Gabba, and they paid the price with all the nicks and balls that probably could have been let go. So I think they'll find it tough. But saying that, if they do bowl patiently and get it in the right areas, which is, you know, that fuller length like our bowlers bowled yesterday, and they get a little bit of movement, the wicket does get harder to bat on day two with that new ball. So that'll be the challenge for the Australian batsman.
Perfect, Pat, as he's now known, Simon. Pat Cummins, I know it's only one day as captain, of course, and an easy day perhaps tactically, and he'll have far more sterner tests to come. But what did you make of the way he went about it and the way he handled himself? Obviously amazing figures, 5 for 38, but he wasn't scared to take the ball at crucial times and put the onus back on himself. He was magnificent.
He was. He was fantastic. I think, you know, it showed early on. Mitchell Starc got the wicket, but then he wasn't afraid to rip him off when Joe Root came to the crease. Pat Cummins has got a fantastic record against Joe Root, and he came straight into the fray early on to pose some questions. Obviously, Josh Hazlewood ended up getting him out, I think. But, you know, from that perspective, I thought he rolled the changes really well. He got young Cameron Green into the game, got him his first test wicket, then ripped him off and got himself back into at the crease with the ball later on to finish off the tail. So I thought he did it magnificently. And, you know, I think he's going to have a lot of respect in that group. They all know that he's a champion bowler, but they also know he's a champion person as well. And I think they're all going to play for him. He's just a wonderful character.
It's all subjective, isn't it, Kat? But is Josh Hazlewood the best fast bowler in the world at the moment?
Well, I tell you what, it's a close call between him and Paddy Cummins. I mean, Josh Hazlewood's gotten better in all forms of the game. I mean, his test record is, I mean, it's been tracking along Glenn McGrath's for a number of years now. Whenever we do the comparisons each year, they're almost neck and neck. Pat Cummins, probably just because he hasn't played the same amount of tests, given his injury history, you know, his record is outstanding as well. And as a batsman, when you look at them bowl, you'd think, geez, you're going to have to work hard for your runs because they're just relentless in their line and length and their control of being able to work a batsman's footwork over. So they're both fantastic to watch, and I think those two in particular are giving us a huge advantage in Test cricket to be able to expose other batting teams.
Before we let you go, I wanted to pose the question. We had a discussion about cameras and the access that is now being provided into the dressing room. We saw that yesterday with Gilly and Alex Carey in the Baggy Green presentation. You struck me as someone who liked to keep things in-house and celebrations and meetings and things like that behind the scenes. Where they should stay, Kat. How would you feel if you were playing today and the cameras seem to be following you around everywhere?
Look, it's just a different era, and I totally understand why it's gone this way. I think we all saw it coming years ago when the BBL started to have more access to the players. Players would talk, you know, as soon as they were walking off after getting out. And I'll never forget one of the first years of the BBL, and Justin Langer was our coach at the Scorchers, and one of our boys got out, it was filthy at the time, and he just turned to me and said, there's no way we would have done this in our day. And I totally agreed with him. I think, you know, we did like to keep that privacy and of the inner sanctum, and that was just the way it was in that period of time. You know, it was a different era. There was no social media and less access. But the way the game's gone and the money that's come in via the media, you can understand why the players are so open to it now. And it does add an element to the game that is wonderful. I mean, for the whole of Australia to be a part of that yesterday and to go on the ride now with Alex Carey is fantastic. And he's got that as a keepsake for the rest of his career as well, along with his family. So, you know, you think of it from that perspective, you go, that's, you know, a wonderful moment shared with everyone. But I know in our era, a lot of the boys, wouldn't have been comfortable with that access.
Simon, loved your insights this morning. Enjoy the day. We'll be listening.
Thanks very much, guys.
Former Aussie test opener Simon Kadich there.